Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Politics Done Right. I am your host, Egberto Williams. This is the progressive program that will take the mystery out of politics. This is the program that will encourage you to make sure government becomes we the people. Whether you are liberal, conservative, or otherwise, you get to air your point of view. Remember, you can also send me a tweet to EGBERTOWILLIES. That is, at Egberto Williams. Let us engage. It is politics done right.
1, 2, 3, 4.
Well, folks, welcome to one more edition of Politics Done Right. I'm Egberto Willis, your host. Thank you for spending this 1 hour on a Saturday at noon with me. I do appreciate that. As you know, what we do here is we're trying to move our country forward with complete and entire engagement from all of those that comprise the body politics. Over the last night, I stayed up pretty late watching CNN, watching some of the discussion between Don Lemon and Charles Blow and some others, and it kind of started a conversation. So what I did is I went on Facebook Live last night, had a conversation with quite a few of our followers out here, and I actually got some good information from them and decided that, you know what, that should be the topic of the show. I had another topic scheduled for the show, but I decided with all that's going on in the country right now, we really need to get busy. And what I'd really like to entertain here is I would like to entertain an honest conversation for those who, by the way, this is a call-in show, and I'd like you to call in. And remember, when you're calling in, nobody can see your face, so your most inner thoughts can come out. I really don't care giving my most inner thoughts in directly or indirectly or otherwise, but what I would really like to get is a pulse of America, what people are thinking out there. No matter what you believe, no matter how arcane you think it is, no matter what you think people are going to think when you say what you say or you think what you say or you think what you think, I think the only way we are going to solve problems in America, I think the only way things are going to get done is if we are honest and we allow people that latitude to get out there and we allow people the ability to say things that are hard to hear, say things that are hard to say, and then get it resolved. I mean, you can only have something resolved if people speak. Now, folks, this is a call-in show. The telephone number is 646-929-2495. Again, that number is 646-929-2495. I'm going to try to put it in there as soon as I'm able to type. But what I want to do is get started with the blog. Look, today I want to continue our necessary dialogue on race. We need to be intentional if we are to make a change. We need to be intentional if we're going to make a change. It is my firm belief that progress is slow and that sometimes we regress because we refuse to allow honest discourse where people can speak without fear. Many fear that their most inner thoughts, will be used against them. It shouldn't if we want real change in our mindsets. If we all allow those thoughts out, we can correct them or change them where necessary. So, folks, what are your thoughts? I really want to hear you. So when I'm done with the blog of the week, please remember, give us a call at 646-929-2495. Give me your thoughts. We can't see you. Maybe we can hear you, or you can type it in the little screen so that I can see your messages. But the only way we're going to move forward is if people talk. Now, here is the deal. Let's talk. I also want to know that let you know that I'm following hashtag politics done right, and you can always reach me on Twitter, Egberto Willy. So give me a call. Give me a call so that we can actually start making some changes. We don't have to listen to other folks, but you know what time it is, folks. It's time for the weekly blog post. Now, I titled the blog post, America, Let's Talk Without Fear of Saying the Wrong Thing. Again, America, Let's Talk Without Fear of Saying the wrong thing. I'm speaking to everybody, irrespective of who you are. Race is a difficult subject that should not be. After all, race is a social construct. It is a physical attribute used to segregate and control. There are genetic markers that for pigmentation, the shape of different parts of our bodies, the chemical makeup of our blood, etc. But we choose the attribute of pigmentation to segregate. Think about that. We pick the attribute of segregation, of pigmentation to segregate. We then socialize these segregated entities with different gradations of power, a pecking order. The human animal is a creature of habit. Dislodging centuries of indoctrination is hard, even as science and our lived realities prove to the masses that racism, sexism, and all the other isms are without merit. A large segment of society is hesitant at even the attempt to see all as our equal brothers and sisters. Last night, I listened to an interview with Charles Blow and Don Lemon on CNN. I usually agree with Charles Blow and find Don Lemon to be an apologist, but not this time. Don Lemon equated dealing with race relations as a marriage. Lemon believed Black people need to play an active role in educating racists. Charles Blow, like many in the what I call the Black intelligentsia, and just about in all the aggrieved classes, intelligentsia, would have none of it. Blow believes it puts an undue burden on those victimized by racists. Blow thinks the ones with the defect are responsible for fixing their own defect. Blow may be right in some idealized world. In the real world, we all have defects. I had defects in my prejudice against gay people. I had defects in my unrealized sexism. Absent someone making the case to me, those defects likely had no chance of being mitigated. After watching the interview, I took it to Facebook Live to get a pulse of the community. Interestingly, I heard both points of view, but remain convinced that those aggrieved by racism and all the other isms should play a part in fixing those with the defect, lest the problem continues. Yes, it is an undue burden, but life has never been fear. We do what is necessary to move forward. In that light, I reposted my article written right after the Trayvon Martin murder. I titled that article back then, "I Was Trayvon Martin the Day I Came to America." And on Coffee Party USA page, it received some interesting responses. Most of them, well, half of them, not good. But later on, I saw more positive people coming in to talk about it. The article expressed my reality. It did it in a hold your hand manner to have others walk in the path of the experiences living as a Black man without applying undue guilt. Some got it. I wonder if others just read the title and decided they would comment. Those are the people that deserve Charles Blow dismissal. But others are willing to accept that they have implicit biases when pointed out and are ready to do something about it. Biases are human. We must intentionally fight our prejudices, racial and otherwise. I respectfully submit that dialogue, civil discourse, is the ultimate solution for most people. That conversation must come with an important characteristic. One must allow others to articulate the most inner thoughts irrespective of discomfort and make the pact not to hold it against them. We only know what needs to be mitigated if we are aware there is something there is to mitigate. In other words, we have to throw political correctness out of the door to allow the proper latitude of understanding. I have made more breakthroughs with that stance than with any. You see, it is not enough to be right. It is not sufficient to know it all. If we want to change people's heart for a harmonious society, in the long run, we only need to do what it takes, throwing out what has not worked over the last decades. So let's get busy. Step into the discomfort of making a better America. Folks, the telephone number is 646-929. 646-926-2495. Again, that number is 646-929-2495. I would love to hear from some of you. Now, I can do a whole lot of talking. I can do a whole lot of talking all on my own, but this is a subject that a lot of people find difficult to talk about. It is a subject that a lot of people get a lot of discomfort when talking about it. And I think it is something that until we try to get over that, it's not going to change anything. It's not going to change behaviors. Now, before I get to my first caller, it is interesting because when I wrote some of the blogs about this issue just today and on the Coffee Party USA website, some of the folks really got on my case because five police officers in Dallas died, five heroes died in Dallas. And they said, why are you talking about this right now? What the implication was look at who killed these officers. So why bring up these particular issues on race? And in effect, many of these guys are trying to discount what occurred, let's say, in Baton Rouge, Louisiana, and in St. Paul, Minnesota, or the suburb of St. Paul, Minnesota. I don't think you can separate them. There is a thread. There is a thread that goes through all of these incidents this week. And unless we look at that thread, instead of trying to blame the police or the individuals that were murdered, and we have to look at it as a societal problem. I spoke about a societal problem a few days ago in a rant that I did on Facebook Live, where I said that our politicians, our current Republican politicians in Texas, are partially responsible for the deaths of these people because, yes, the internals are still there, but absent the ability to walk with a gun with a cop not being able to stop you, absent the ability to use large magazines, absent all of these things, the amount of carnage that occurred in Dallas would not have occurred. So, yes, there are several problems here. We have to look at them all. Without ado, but again, let me tell you folks, the telephone number is 646-929-2495. And what I'm going to do in the comment section as well is put that number. But let's go ahead and start. I think I have one of my favorite callers here. John, how are you doing this morning, John?
Good. Good afternoon, Egberto. How you doing?
So far, so good. Talk to me, my friend.
Yeah, it's just another, you know, tragedy, and I mean, you know, there are obviously several tragedies that happened this week, and so, you know, I don't feel uncomfortable at all talking about this. We've had several conversations over the years, and, you know, this, what a lot of white people like myself need to really come to grips with the history of this country, the history of racism. This history of bigotry, and it continues to this day. We need to be honest about this. We need to be honest about, let's look at what's happened since Obama's taken over, and there's been an extreme backlash, and you see that, you know, quite a bit in the Trump campaign. And also we need to understand, you know, that love is the answer, not hatred. And so, So we had three tragedies this week, you know, involving, you know, incredible,
right,
you know, death, and we need to look at all of those and just consider that you know, hatred spurred all of those tragedies, and we need to walk away from hatred, have a better understanding of, put yourself in those shoes, have empathy for all seven victims, and a lot of white people are going to have a hard time having empathy for Philando Castile and Alton Sterling, and that's a real shame because they're always looking for scapegoats, and so that's a huge problem.
Right.
And so I've been enjoying your postings, and I think that one thing that I do think about Michael Xavier Johnson, I do feel like, you know, he unfortunately was consumed by hatred also. Now, the gun issue, I agree with you on, but, I mean, if he didn't have that hatred, that spurred him to kill the people, it really would have been a different story. And so, it's just a shame that happened. But let's not forget about, Philando Castile and Alton Sterling, because, that's what's happening a lot, especially in the mainstream media. It's almost like these things the two killings didn't happen. Everybody's just focusing on the five police officers that were killed. And it's important that we remember all of them and remember that hatred spurred those deaths, and, to move away from hatred.
That is so true. Now, that is one of the reasons that I keep the issue on the table. If you realize, one of the things that I said is that there is a thread that goes through all of these, of all of these events, right? And that thread, that entire thread has to do with race and police. Race, the big issue, and police. One of the things that I wrote, and I think I don't think you called into the show on when was it, on Thursday, but what I did is I had Jolanda Jones, who is one of Houston's premier activists out here, and she was on board discussing, because there were several rallies out here, and what she did is she went out there, and in fact, the reason I had her on the show, she went out there and calmed down some folks that were probably going to be a little bit more rowdy than they probably should be, and she went out there and gave them a pretty good lecture, and they listened. And that was, that was why I had her on. But we discussed that it is important that we start making those changes. And, here's what gets to me. We talk about this, it seems, every time this occurs, right? Every time this occurs, it seems like we have this discussion. And what I was trying to do with the blog post that I have today is I was trying to say the reason why we do this over and over again is that what happens is we get a sore, right? You get a cut, and then the scab comes, and then the skin grows over. But there are two kinds of skin grow over that can occur. I mean, you can have the skin looking fine on the outside, but it's still either infected underneath or not healed underneath. And I think that is where we are as a country with these issues. They're not healed underneath because we never get a chance to honestly speak about what people think, what black folk think, what white folk think. And only when those things come out in the ethos can people actually say, well, the way you're thinking that way is incorrect is because X, Y, Z. On both sides, I shouldn't say both sides because it's, we have a plethora of different kinds of folks in this country. So on all sides, if we just break the misunderstanding, the problem we have in America is that for the most part, we just like glossy things. We don't want to go ahead and expand our horizons. We want to stay in a certain comfort zone. The thing about it is, leave your comfort zone for a little bit. It's amazing how leaving that comfort zone reverts to a higher comfort. In other words, when you start associating, when you start being expressive with all kinds of folks around the place, the expansion of your horizons is so great that your life becomes so much more fruitful. And it's not only that, it makes for a better society all around. Folks, I really would love for some of you to call in. 646. I know you're watching, and I can see on Blog Talk Radio that I have quite a few as well, but nobody's calling in other than our two. Well, I have another call in that I'm going to get to in a minute. 646-929-2495. No matter what you think, I would love to hear from you. I would love to hear your point of view. Let me talk to who's line 620. Who do I have the honor of speaking with? Line 620.
This is Jack Golden again.
Jack Golden. I should know that number by now.
Golding,
how are you doing, Jack?
Not Golden.
Okay, Golden.
Golden.
Okay,
because,
gotcha.
I knew a guy by the name of Jack Golden. He was a fellow PSDS member, 20
okay.
years older than I am.
Oh, okay.
And I'm 85. I'm 85 now.
So he's 105
years
old.
70s. What? No, if he's still living, who knows?
Okay, gotcha.
Okay, now, what I want to say, think, is that, I think the this crap is going on because of desegregation. They're not familiar. I mean, white folks who are prejudiced have not associated with blacks.
That is,
so they have these problems. Now, I was a member of maybe the first and maybe the only fraternity back in college days that was interracial, Beta Sigma Tau.
Mm-hmm.
And prior to that, we had Chinese, we had Oriental, we had blacks. We had
you had everybody.
Many Hispanics in Chicago at the time I was going to
right.
college. Okay, I think that the problem is education is a. It may be a solution for a lot of things, even
let me say something about
called segregation of prejudice against LGBT and that. Because I haven't heard of that back when I was back in the 50s.
Right. I mean, it was sort of hush-hush. You're right.
Sorry?
Now, let me tell you, Jack, let me stop you for a second, because you said something about education, and that's sort of a difficult issue, right? Because, like I mentioned in the blog, a lot of people know they're educated to the fact that, let's say, racism is bad and all these other issues. But the problem is there is this carnality within all humans, right? We are also a victim of habit. We're also a victim of indoctrination that is long lasting. So you have to be intentional when you are trying to mitigate things like prejudice and racism. And the only way that occurs is if you're in an environment where you can actually talk. And when I say talk, I mean, right now, I'm going to hate to say this because some would take it wrong. Sometimes political correctness, and I don't want to use it in the form that the right-wing folk use political correctness, but I want to use it in the form that, as a liberal myself, there are times I would go into a liberal organization and I'll say something, and I don't say it the exact manner in which, let's say, liberals express it. Let's say we're talking about privilege or we're talking about supremacy or whatever, and I don't use the particular lingo that these folks talk about. Instead of viewing the problem as a whole, as opposed to exactly how people express it, we get on the case because you have to be politically correct in the way you say things in a certain manner. It hurts us in the long run, and it allows others to really continue the pollution of people's minds. You know, I mean, I can go into Appalachia and because of the way the messaging occurs in Appalachia, people that should be allies of most of us wouldn't be, not because they don't know they should be, but because of what they are unable to express to put it out there. But anyhow, folks, I really would love to hear from you, or even if you don't want to call in, if you want to add to the discussion, if you're watching it on Facebook, you can actually put a little note there that I'll see in the comment section that I can bring up. If you have questions or want me to change and discuss a particular issue on this topic, you know, just write it in. Let's talk about it. But I would love, one of the good things about Facebook and Blog Talk Radio is it gives the ability to be interactive. It gives the ability to be interactive without having the masters of the plutocracy, meaning the big corporations telling us whether we can get on the Rush Limbaugh show, whether they'll screen us out or not. Here, you're not screened. Hold on 1 second, Jack. I'm coming to you right away. Any single person who wants to have or get into the discourse, anonymously or not anonymously, however you want, can be a part of the discussion. If you have thoughts, I know the folks watching have thoughts. I know you're thinking about something that, whether that I said or that you want me to say or that you want us to discuss together, give us a call or put it in the notes, in the comments. 646-929-2495 on Facebook. If you notice, I have the telephone number down there as well. You can call me with your Skype. You can call me actually directly from Facebook. Go ahead and click it and call that number. 646-929-2495. Jack, you were saying something.
Yeah, I'm saying that there's a lot of things. Education is one thing.
Right.
But I think they have, so-called white supremacists, how they got to be that way.
Right.
That should be studied.
Well, they weren't born that way.
Donald Trump has been sympathetic to these white supremacists, the duck show or whatever it is, off talking duck show,
right.
David Duke and
let's be clear. It's not that he's sympathetic. What it is, it's not that Donald Trump is sympathetic. It's that he's doing what every politician
appealing
does
to those kind of people,
right? Because that is where he. Trump looks to see where he can carve people out of, and the people that will vote for Trump carves them out of the supremacist movement, the nativist movement, and all of these. Let me go ahead and bring John into that, because I know John has some thoughts on that as well.
I think he's a little bit more of a racist than you're showing. I mean, you know, he's retweeted a lot of stuff that are, you know, pure out racist tweets. I mean, these are organizations that are racist. You know, the Star of David that came out last Saturday was one thing. He had statistics last fall about the African Americans shooting, which were totally wrong, completely wrong. That also originated. He didn't condemn David Duke. I think that this is actually a little bit of a bigger problem than you're letting on. I mean, he really has.
I hear you, John, and I'll give it to you. I'll give that to you. What I want to add, however, to that is I think Donald Trump has no core, so I don't even know if Donald Trump knows what Donald Trump is all about. That's what I'm saying. But I give you your due. But let me go to line 727. 727, who do I have the honor of speaking with?
Marianne.
Marianne, how you doing?
I'm doing great.
Great.
So
let's go add to this discussion for me.
Well, my question is, speaking of the people who are Donald Trump's base, they like him because he says what they think they shouldn't have been saying all along, and now he's giving them permission to say it because here it is, he's important and he's running for president. So when you get into a discussion with people like that, which I encounter quite often, and I'm sure a lot of people do, do you think that you're going to get anywhere to engage with them, or do you think you're just going to ruin, in my case, it feels like we're just going to be ruining relationships because they've got their mindset and they don't want to listen. So in that case, you talk about, you know, getting a dialogue going, but is that always possible?
Let me tell you what I do. There are some. There are, I think the minority of people in from what I've seen talking to people out here all over the place, are there are some that simply that they know they are wrong, but they don't want to change. For them, a change means less money. What I mean is, if you take a look at the people who make money on TV from spewing racism, let's say give me any one of those guys that made their money from selling books about how, you know, who are the deficient people or whatever. I can't even think of any of these, you know. Ann Coulter, let's just look at Ann Coulter. Ann Coulter knows better, but she makes a lot of money doing these things. So there's an industry of misinformation out there. Those people will not stop doing what they're doing because they make money off of doing what they're doing. Now, when you speak to persons or people who even read Ann Coulter or all the other people, those crazies, you sit down with them one-on-one, and the first thing you do is let them talk. And what the way I generally do things is I'll sit down in Starbucks sometimes for 2 or 3 hours with somebody who has all these different things, and I will let them talk and say all the things about during the birth of days, let them go on and say all the things about birthers, talk all the things about trickle down and why we need to continue with trickle down and everything. And I let them talk. And then I generally, before I start proposing anything, I start asking them what their solutions would be for a particular issue. And when they start giving me the solutions to the particular issue, I then ask them to expand on it and enumerate on that. Let me see, to take it one step at a time. And generally within the one step at a time process, I start to throw in what generally the liberal ideas would be for the particular issue. And ironically, during that, they're agreeing with you. They're saying, oh yeah, that would even make it better. And that would, you know, you'll get there with the conversation. And without telling them anything else, most of those people sit back. And in fact, I've gotten emails later on from some of them that said, darn, I never thought about it that way. There was a Russian that I spoke to, this guy was a great Trump supporter and whatever. And by the time we ended the discussion, he was an Obamacare supporter who, in as much as he was using Obamacare at the time, didn't like Obamacare. He was a Trump supporter who said, you know what, I really was never a Trump supporter. Actually, I think I have to look at this. And the one thing he said at the end when he walked out, and this isn't just this Russian guy, that Russian-American guy, but all the times this has occurred, he looked and he simply said, you know, I am glad I spoke to you, but what got to him is that somebody first listened to him. You know, and that's what I tell folks a lot of times. Mm-hmm. Somebody first listen to him. And after that, it was okay for him to go ahead and start the conversation. And again, if you look at some of the stuff I write, which is very left-wing, you would think that Republicans would think I'm, you know, they would have nothing to do with someone. But because the methodology that I try to use is first listen, not to try to demean them, but to first listen. And that's what I try to do, Marianne. Are you there?
Actually, I suddenly lost your voice.
Oh, okay. Yeah, did you finish hear what I was saying, or?
I did. Yes, I did. I heard everything that you said. Yeah.
Okay. Is there anything else you want to talk about?
Nope, not right now. I'm just enjoying listening.
Excellent. Well, folks, please do remember the telephone number is 646-929-2495. And if you don't want to, if you don't want us to hear your voice, you can also write a little note if you're watching it on Facebook under the little place where there are comments. Let's talk about that as well. Put it in the comment section. You want to say something, John?
Yeah, I really admire your patience. I think Marianne was talking about, you know, how, I mean, it is difficult. It's difficult to to hear people out. And I mean, I'll be honest. I mean, a lot of times I don't want to hear people out. I mean, I'm constantly on the DVR when I know somebody's coming on that I don't want to hear. I know what they're gonna say, and I'm just
right.
like, okay, fast forward past that. I mean, and so, you know, I admire your patience. And one thing also that I admire is that a lot of people do change their minds. And I include myself in that. You know, sometimes I change my mind because I'm actually moving towards the left. Like you were saying that you last week that you probably should have been more critical of Obama from
yes.
the left earlier. And I have to say the same thing for myself, even though I was fairly critical on a lot of issues.
Right.
But, you know. So I think, you know, having the patience to have a conversation is a great virtue, and I admire you for that, and I'm trying to work towards that, you know. But also we need to be honest about,
right.
you know, what's truly going on and what is, you know, and when we're being honest, again, I don't mean to harp on this too much. I mean, we need to think about the history of racism in our country, you know, the centuries of slavery, you know, the century of Jim Crow laws, you know, of all the codes, you know, that oppress African Americans. And, you know, going to what Jack was speaking about, I mean, there are a lot of people who live their lives, you know, without, you know, encountering a lot of people, black or brown people, because, you know, our country is still fairly segregated. Like, you know, I went to Robert E. Lee High School, you know, with the rebel flag, and it's still there in 2016. And, you know, there was one African-American in the whole school, and
right.
so I had very little contact with African-Americans. But what I did, you know, enjoy is, you know, the reading about the culture. And I think a lot of people can get a great deal from reading about various cultures and be open-minded. I mean, I love international music. I love, you know, the arts in an international sense, trying to learn from every culture and respect
right.
the cultures.
Right.
I think that's extremely important, especially if you live in a rural area. I mean, people who live in urban areas who are open-minded, I mean, you see, you know, great acceptance, well, not great, but I mean, better acceptance
oh, yeah.
of minorities than you see in rural areas. And so I think it's important to keep reading and keep admiring people who are striving for change. I mean, I've said this before, you know, I really enjoy, like, watching shows on C-SPAN to talk about the civil rights era, and not the people, you know, they were the most prominent. Of course, I like them also. But, I mean, the people who were in smaller cities who, you know, stuck their neck out and, you know, have faced incredible oppression, but eventually, you know, they got, you know, they made progress. And we still need to make progress. I mean, because, you know, this is not a colorblind society. There is still incredible oppression, and we have to remember that. And all the people, you know, like Rudolph Giuliani, and there was a Republican congressman named Roger Williams from Texas, and William Johnson, the executive director of the National Police Association, they were blaming Black Lives Matters for
mm-hmm.
the killing of the police officers. They are just so wrong. I mean, Black Lives Matters is a great organization that are putting, you know, putting this at the forefront of people's minds. And, you know, they want justice, and that's what everybody in America should want, justice. And everybody should understand that, you know, how ugly our racial history is, and try to change it, and admire those people that have been changing it, you know, through the years.
Absolutely, I agree. Now, earlier you kind of gave us patience. Let me tell you about where the patience thing came in. And folks, we crashed for a while. I don't know why, but apparently the mentions program crashed. I just restarted it, so I'm going to put in the link where the new program is. I mean, it's just on top of the old program. So what I'm doing is I'm adding that to the link so that you guys can go there and see where the other program is. Anyhow, it is interesting because I wasn't always patient on this issue. In fact, I was pretty darn outspoken on this issue and not a lot of times not very kind. But with time, you know, you know what they say about insanity, right? Insanity is doing the same thing over and over again and expecting a different result. So therefore, what I did is said, this hasn't been working for a long time. What do I need to do to try to get it to work? And I just went ahead and tried different things. And some work and some don't. And what you do is you work with the ones that work. You know, race is a difficult thing to talk about because a lot of people were, I mean, deep inside, a lot of folks don't want to talk about it. They don't want to sit down there. And I mean, it's difficult to a lot of, you know, and I find, I don't call people silly, but I think that when you do understand what race really is, it is really kind of silly, right? I mean, that we have all these issues. And like I said in my post, race is but a social construct used to segregate for a few to maintain power. Folks don't get it. It's like, how is one related to the other? And then I say, well, that's another subject that I'm going to cover some other time. But it is important that we see those things. I have another call I want to get into. 703, who do I have the honor of speaking with?
Hi, this is Jermaine.
Tremaine, come on in, Tremaine. How you doing?
I'm doing not so good.
Tell me why you're not so good, and then we'll talk about it.
Well, the recent atrocities that happened and the Dallas shootings just seem to exacerbate this issue we have with race. And I think you put it perfectly earlier in the show where you talk about how it's an unhealed scab. It's an infected wound, race relations in America.
Right.
And I believe that with the election of Barack Obama twice has basically allowed a certain segment of the population to fester, and the rise of Donald Trump has given them a voice. You know, they've been under a rock for the last 7.5 years, just festering and pissed off. And now you have this person, Donald Trump, that is giving them voice to all of these noxious thoughts. And I hate the fact that politics is carrying people away, but at the fundamental base of it, folks are following this guy because he speaks his mind. So do we have this large population that has these thoughts and they've just been silent?
Well, I think that's
the part that's bothered me the most is the silence.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, let me tell you. First of all, I think you hit on something that is rather important, right? I think that in effect, there are a lot of people that have always harbored these sentiments, yes. But I think it is not necessarily as bad as you state in this respect. A lot of times we have bad thoughts, but because of the environment we're in, they're suppressed, right? All of us have bad thoughts. They're suppressed.
Right.
And as long as they're suppressed, it's all right. But if you're given an environment for your bad thoughts to fester and for other information to come in there to kind of give nourishment to those thoughts, then they expand. I mean, let's go back to I hate to use Germany and the Hitler days, but a lot of the people who supported Hitler, I don't think that they were intrinsically bad people. I think what happens with a lot of people in general, no matter what part of the world you're from, is that you're easily influenced. And not only you're easily influenced, but peer pressure plays a big part. I can sit down in a Starbucks with somebody, and while I'm in that Starbucks with somebody, they are in complete agreement with me, and they are perfectly okay. But when they are in their environment with their peers, they immediately start to, I remember completely, an interesting scenario. We went over a whole lot of policies and that sort of stuff with a friend, a right-wing Republican friend, and he was all in agreement with me. And another day I went in Starbucks and he saw me, and the fear, he was with his friends, the fear that came into that guy, because he feared that I could see, read his face, that he feared I would come in there and have the same, try to talk about the discussion that we had among his peers. This is a good man, but he's a fearful man because he's surrounded by. So, am I making any sense, or did I get that clear?
Yeah, you're perfectly clear. As a matter of fact, the movie and the book, The Help, illustrates that nuance perfectly.
Right.
It's that fear of being ostracized and shunned by their peers.
Right.
Which is why they don't say anything.
You are so right. And I'm sorry. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
Yeah. And to me, that's what's the worst, is the silence now.
Right. And I think, and that's why groups that, let's say, that's why Black Lives Matter needs allies. That's why all these different groups that I'm coming to you, Skype call. That's why all these other groups that are part of these movements, they're all separated right now, need to get other people within these movements so that there is protection among numbers. Because I tell you why. There is a tipping point that occurs when people, good people that have good thoughts are willing to cross over, when they know that they're not going to be left in isolation. And as opposed to something that Charles Blow said, I want to sort of go against what he said in that respect, in that we have to be able, though the aggrieved, the blacks, the Hispanics, the Latinos, all have to be willing to bring these other folks in so that they know they have that place of comfort. Because if they are going to leave their place of comfort, very few people are willing to leave a place of comfort for discomfort for no value. Think about that. So, I mean,
true.
That's the reason with my as I grow older, I'm able to empathize. Thanks for calling. I'm keeping you hot, and let me bring in 111, and I'm going to continue going down the list of callers. I don't know your name, but Skype caller, how are you doing?
Okay. I was listening.
What is your name, sir?
Yeah, I was listening to the woman talk about Trump, and you have in your description page talking about race.
Mm-hmm.
I'm presuming that people on your show are believing that Trump is a racist. Is that true?
Some believe
Trump
is a racist. I think Trump has no core, but you go ahead and tell me what your thoughts are, sir.
Well, I wanted to find out what the evidence is to indicate that he's a racist.
I can tell you what, I won't answer that. I'll just let John answer that. John.
Well, I mean, you can start off with his opening speech when he was talking about how Mexicans were bringing disease and bringing drugs and they're rapists and some of them are good people. When, you know, I mean, the majority are good people. Very few people are actually bringing drugs. Very few people are actually rapists. So, I mean, that's how he started his campaign. When he says he has a ban against Muslims, that's the most racist thing that any leader has said in of a large Western country. Probably, I can't even think of any person who's run for the presidency who's made such a comment. That has caused such an international outroar that the leaders across the world are incredibly concerned about Trump being elected president. And
John,
I'm
going to ask you to hold simply because we're low on time, and I want to hear his response. I didn't get your name, sir.
Do me?
Wayne? Okay. Response, sir.
Okay.
I'm getting a little bit of noise from you. John, so I'm going to just take you off mic for a minute. Let Dwayne answer. Go ahead, sir.
Okay. I didn't hear exactly what he was saying about when Trump was talking about vetting Muslims, but that makes perfect sense. He said to temporarily vet Muslims, temporarily ban Muslims until the Senate and the House of Representatives can vet them properly. Now, what's wrong with that particular statement when ISIS is the leader of a radical Islam terrorism.
Oh my God.
So,
okay,
ISIS,
wait a minute.
ISIS is not a leader within the radical Islamic terrorist group?
Okay, Duane, let me stop you for a second, and I want to give a response because this is important. You know, what I think it devalues, actually, it's, I'll say this as civilly as I can. Trump is either a racist or Trump is ignorant. And let me give an example of what I'm saying. Remember what occurred in Turkey, the terrorist attack in Turkey. It happened to have occurred from white Russians who could not be distinguished from otherwise Muslims. So whenever you talk about censoring on the racist, on the basis of religion, immediately it becomes obvious that that person knows very little about security. Again, because religion covers not what someone looks like, where they are from, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. It has more to do with what you want to do. So, but be above and beyond that, Trump has said many things about, I mean, there's a litany of things that we can pull up as, about black folks, about Latinos, about everybody else. So to try to defend Trump is one thing, and you have the right to do that. But one of the things we have the right as well is to say, it's either you're willfully not understanding what he's saying, or or maybe it would be a good thing for you to stay with us longer, listen to some of the shows that we have, read some of the blogs that we have. But I
can
have
do
another
better than that. I can find out by drilling down what is it that he said and what it is that people interpreted about what he said to find out exactly what the truth is. Now, he said,
what about him being sued?
Right.
What, are we
going to
have microaggressions here?
No, we're going to drill down.
I can't.
Okay, we have.
Let me go ahead now and get to another caller. 347. And doing that, look, we don't have a lot of time. That's why I have to quit. So 347, come on.
Hey, the previous caller was playing a game, acting ignorant and distracting us from the truth. The truth is Trump makes very racist statements all the time, and then apologists like the previous caller call in, oh, what did he say? They already told you what he said. You're not listening, so go on with your life. The big problem is actually that people like Trump are using the race card to confuse ignorant white people, meaning the top people in the world are not racist. They use racism and sexism as tools for power. The folks that are really racist are ignorant people that don't know that we're all African, that don't know that the first mention of God was by Akhenaten of Egypt, that was King Tut's father, that don't know that the first empires were black, that don't know that the first Chinese were black people, the first Japanese were black people. So to put this in perspective, racism is a tool and police brutality is a tool. Law enforcement is not the problem. The problem is racist cops. A cop is a noble job.
What
the
is your name,
is
sir?
They're taught to beat us up.
What's your name?
Jimmy Spice.
Jimmy, look, thank you for those words. Those were very important words. I hope you read the blog of the week that's attached to the show, because in effect that was actually said that, first of all, one, we know race is a social construct, and number two, we also know that it was made to control. It was made as a power source. So I mean, that is, you don't know how I'm beaming to hear somebody else call in and say that. And Tremaine, I hope, did I get your name right, Tremaine? Is that correct? 703? The person calling from 703, the lady.
Oh, Jemay.
Okay, I'm sorry for messing up your name. Now, so that is what I'm saying now. What Jimmy had to say is so very important. That when I speak about John, when I talk about sitting down and talking to people and first listening, that is what I talk about. Listening to them and then after presenting these things like this in a manner that they can absorb. And most people, even if they don't change their on the spot, the way of speaking changes overall. And you actually see that. So in a case of you, for all the listeners that are out there, look, it's slow, it's hard, It's going to take a lot of time, but we don't have a choice, right? It's either that we continue to work, or rather, it's either we let the ignorance reign, or those of us know continue to be a part of the solution. And what do I mean by we continue to be a part of the solution? Look, geometry, I mean, the progression works, geometric progression works. For those people who are math majors and all of that, you know how that works, right? In other words, if you educate two people and each of those two people educate two more and each of those two more, you make progress rather quickly. But what we have to do is get started. We got to get the root out there. We got to get the soil, the good soil, good roots. And what do I mean by good roots? Good leaders. I am very impressed with the folks at Black Lives Matter because they have good leaders. And they're being viciously attacked and they're still surviving. I have another call. 832. 832, come on in. How are you doing today?
Oh, I'm all right.
What's your name, sir?
Jerry.
Jim, you have a comment you want to make?
Jerry.
Jerry, you have a comment you want to make?
Yeah, I just wanted to say that that I agree with what some of the other people have said. I think that what, you know, like that one lady said, I don't think what happened in Dallas is really going to help anybody out. And, you know, I think that there's, you know, I think that that's actually counterproductive. I don't think that that does anything for anybody. I do think there's a real problem there, but I don't think that, you know, going out and shooting cops is going to work.
Let me just say this, because I don't think anybody wants to go out there and shoot cops. And not only that, I don't think anybody is, did it appear to you based on the direction of this, this dialogue here on this show that anybody was somehow condoning, let's say what, I don't remember his name, Malik X did?
Micah. Yeah.
Micah.
Yeah.
Jerry, the question is to you, Jerry.
The question is what?
Did you feel that anybody on this show?
No, I didn't feel like that about anybody. No, not on your show, no.
Okay, good. Just trying
to. No, but obviously somebody thinks that that can work or that, you know, is a good idea or something because they did it.
Now, again, let me tell you something. This guy, I think, was deranged. I think the guy had PTSD. The guy came in, and I think he got a trigger that caused it to happen. Just like for a lot of the other shootings in this country, it's been proven that these were people that
Dylan
had
Roof.
Said it again?
Dylan Roof, the
exactly.
Guy that went into the church and shot the 9 parishioners as they prayed, yes.
Yes.
He was shook up by the whole Confederate flag debate.
Right. There's a trigger that these deranged that triggers these deranged people, and we all condemn it, mm-hmm. and we try to mitigate it. Now, we don't have a lot of time, so we only have about 2 more minutes or so, but I want to say something because this is where the gun thing comes in, right? I felt sorry for those Dallas police officers because how were they to know? Anybody that they saw in the crowd with guns, with AR-15s or whatever, who was foe and who was friend. So, I mean, whenever we're making laws in this country, we better be darn sure we know what all the outcomes are going to be based on these laws and what the extenuating circumstances are. But anyway, folks, we have 90 seconds. So I'm going to ask everybody to give just a 10-second goodbye. So, Jerry, starting with you, give me a 10-second closer.
Well, I think that, you know, this shows like this are really good, and you know, I think it's great that you're doing this, and I finally figured out how to get to it.
Thank you, sir. Just go and like the page, and you'll get all about it, sir. Trine, go ahead. 10 seconds.
Silence needs to stop.
Thank you very much, Period. Trine. Give me a quick 10 seconds, quick. Jimmy?
I don't think that people are deranged. I think some people are angry. I don't agree with the violence that was used, but it's the American way, and some people do the American way for justice.
Got to go. Thank you, sir. Jack, give me a very quick 10 seconds.
Okay. Let me see. Education is the answer.
Thank you very much, Jack. Thank you for that, Jack. Education and the answer. John, I only have 10 seconds. Give me a quick 10 seconds.
Also, love is the answer. Love over hatred, respect for the culture. And I think what Jimmy was saying about all of our cultural heritage, anthropologists can back this up. We're all coming from Africa, and we should respect Africans. We should respect everybody.
This has been Politics Done Right. My name is Egberto Willis. Thank you very much for following the show. Have a wonderful Saturday, and take care. Bye-bye.